somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Ghetto people, who you gonna turn to next?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Ghetto people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Show some love for yourself, people.
Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you. Leave you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need. When what you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness you can never get used to.
Ghetto people,
what are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't.
Ghetto people, who you gonna turn to next?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen, people, you better take a look at yourself, yeah.
Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
at. Living like you're living,
living like you're living.
Caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your
dreams.
Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it, y'all.
Talking to my people,
yeah.
Take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you. Leave you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need. When what you really want inside can only come from you.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family, Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning.
You are listening to
African World
and Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
I jumped a gun. Good morning, African World. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshie, Hotep family. Hope everything was well for you today. Hope you had a good day yesterday and hope you have a great day today on a Wednesday hump day. Got to get over the hump and the rest of your week. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. Brothers and sisters, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done, because why? You'll get it done. And that's why we love you. Yep. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday, today, from 7 p.m. this evening to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Our Story. Thursday, tomorrow, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening from 8 until Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, it's Pinckney to Pinckney with activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. And then following that program at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Because you know, brothers and sisters, if we don't do it, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Give a look. More importantly, support. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayimba is ready to take another group of our people home to the motherland, Africa for the Africans. Yeah, I tell you, he's just done outstanding. He's been very committed, and he's just been outstanding in terms of organizing, getting the things that he needs done. Yeah, Africa for the Africans. In fact, he's about to take a trip in a minute. Yeah, in a minute here. And exactly where it's going to be. And, of course, here we go. May 24th, next week, to June 5th, going to Ghana. $4,600. $4,600. May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. November 20th to December 1st, $4,700, going to Tanzania. February 12th to February 23rd, 2026, for $4,500, Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026, for $4,600, Kemet. Yeah, I'm telling you, Brother Bomani, man, is doing it. May 24th to June 5th, 2026, $4,600, Ghana. October 1st to October 12th, 2026, $4,400, Kenya. November 19th to
November 30th, 2026, $4,500. A Xenia. Brothers and sisters, these prices are locked. If you sign up, they're subject to change. And he says that on the website. But if you get one of these trips now, or as they're posted where they are, that's the price that you'll pay. You will not be incurred with any additional price. So these future, there's some future tours coming up, April 1st to the 13th, Ghana, April 1st to the 13th of 2027, Tanzania, June 10th through the 21st, 2027. Here is a nice trip, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe, November 18th to the 29th, 2027. So, once again, Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures, family, of previous tours, if you want to see pictures, photos, go to facebook.com/Pamani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Brothers and sisters, oh, it's not up there. Habashah Incorporated.org. Habashah Incorporated.org. Yeah, a lot of stuff's not up there. Since I only do this once a week now, and I never received any money. Did do this, but I felt that these things that I announce are worth looking into, and more importantly, worth supporting. Because once again, if we don't, who will? And of course, Habashah, definitely the 10th annual Black Sustainability Summit is upcoming. And of course, they deal in sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship and gardening and so forth, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habashah Incorporated.org. Ledge Group. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They deal in the four areas for human necessity. These are essential: food, water, clothing, and shelter. Yes, 12 projects in 6 different countries and over 170 to employed with over 260 members of the Ledge Group. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Yes, My Pharmacy is not happening, family. Yeah. My Pharmacy is not happening. But the Minister of Wellness, I'm not sure where the brother is, but the Minister of Wellness is happening. Minister of Wellness, Nathaniel Jordan. Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. And the Moses West Foundation, and there it is. The Moses West Foundation. Of course, the great work that he does, providing water, the elixir of life, water. Access to water is fundamental to life and prosperity, serving as a cornerstone for public health, economic development, and sustainability of our global ecosystem. That was said at the UNICEF conference last year in 2024, and this brother has been producing clean water. We'll be conducting system demonstrations in Anne Arundel County. That was last month. We will send the address and details. Okay. The Moses West Foundation Atmospheric Water Generating Machine 800 Systems for Community represents a breakthrough in sustainable water access, entirely supported by the power of the sun. Totally supported by the sun. Yeah. So it's all natural. You've got water molecules in the air all around us. And this machine, the atmospheric water generator, sucks those molecules in, and if there's something that is not usable, that is not H2O, it kicks it to the curb. Because I asked this question a couple years ago to Brother Moses West. I said, because there was a derailment in Pennsylvania, a derailment, and it was very toxic, black smoke. And I said, can that water, AWG, be used in that environment? He said, yes, because it's going to isolate all the toxins and then take the atmospheric, and take the H2O molecule and run that through the process. Yes, it can be done. And then go through the filterization process and so forth, and then turn the tap on, out comes clean, drinkable, usable water. Go to the website, MosesWestFoundation.org, and see for yourself, read for yourself, MosesWestFoundation.org. And if you feel it, donate. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta, in the West End. It is being gentrified as we speak. Healthy Market and Juice Bar. And Wadada's is right across the street from Soul Vegetarian. The West End Mall is closed. Yep. A few other things are closing. It is what it is, man. But the Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located on Ralph David Abernathy. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, I'm going to be going over there very soon, because last time I was over there, she was closed, and I hope that's not the case. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, and so much more. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. 404-346-3263. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of here. You take I-20, go east, take exit 74, and that'll be Main Street in Lithonia. Make a left, now you're going north for about a mile and a half, and on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. And then when you jump back in your ride and head back the opposite direction, now you're going south. But you're still going to make a left to go east to exit 75. You were on exit 74. Now you're going just the next exit up, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights. After three lights, make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market, which, of course, is old Target's, the new Black Wall Street Market. Brothers and sisters, support it, because if it don't, it'll go away. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Beja, he's got it going on. He has everything. He has a one-stop shop, man. I'm telling you. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. So check Brother Beja out in 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia, and give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. A good sister, Sister Gabby Aurelia in Haiti. She has been working with young folks in Haiti for many years. And so check her out. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. All right, Akabin, that's Baba Baruti and the work that he's doing, the educational program that he's doing, and him and his lovely wife, Mama Ya. Please support them. You can go to PayPal. And PayPal, put in Ya Baruti at Yahoo. Ya Baruti at Yahoo. To donate through PayPal, $ Ya M Baruti for Cash App to donate. Make your donations and support what he's doing. The Inyasa Sim, Baba Baruta's book, The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes. May 13th. Rise in wisdom. Leave ignorance to those who have a passion for it, and you'll meet with more truth. Michael Colbert. Eldership like ancestralship is earned. Let me repeat that. Eldership like ancestralship is earned. Those are titles. Just like people call me Baba. That's a title. I don't call me Baba. People call me Baba because of what you do in the community. Eldership, you earn eldership by doing what's right to help our community. You're an elder in the community. If not, you're just an older. You ain't an elder, you're an older. You ain't done shit. You know, you never contribute. You don't support. So, an old fool without vision who gains satisfaction in promoting a defeatist attitude among his or her prodigy should be dismissed for the fool he or she is and has spent a lifetime becoming. However, those elders who work to hone warriors for that certain inescapable final battle should ever have our complete attention. Yes, they should. Any of our brothers, our elders, and our jegnas who are working with our young people to help them, to help guide them, deserve our respect and our support. Affirm, the wise have my attention. Affirm, the wise have my attention. May 14th. When you're leading a vagrant life, you console yourself by claiming that you're a born traveler. When you're leading a vagrant life, you console yourself by claiming that I'm a born traveler. Yeah. A con proverb. We are again in the throes of gentrification, the process where Europeans move us to where they want us to be so they can be where we are, places which they once abandoned in hate of us. We are witnessing the reshuffling of the deck of socially marked cards, with us being dealt bad cards. Sadly, some of us see a victory in those loathing hands, unable to see cards coming from the bottom of the decks because they are excited just to be invited to the casino. Obvious to any sense of self, defined outside of the insanity of the cheating overlords they have modeled their very existence after. They interpret regentrification as moving them closer to a privileged bedroom of the dealer. They forget that a people willing to settle wherever they are tossed, who run, dodging intentionally increased taxes and police corruption, scattering without foresight or planning, will ever be homeless. Nothing is wrong with relocation unless the move separates you from your spirit, from the bones of your ancestors, just as nothing is wrong with migrating to a better place. In fact, in the game of chess, players must sometimes retreat to save valuable pieces. But retreat is always made to a better position for the attack. Players will even place prize pieces on jeopardized squares so they can be forced.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Move to a more advantageous position. With this in mind, as we run, are we moving to a better position or just fleeing with no empowering objective? Affirm, every move I make has a plan. Affirm, every move I make has a plan. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Ah, brothers and sisters, good morning to you. You know, I appreciate Brother Teju Tejumala Oluboni out of Milwaukee. Truly a jegna. You know, he's truly a jegnak because he's admired and respected by our community and supported by our community. Well, we got to because he stands up. He's always stood up. So thank you to Brother Teju. Hope we all enjoyed the conversation we had this past Monday, and we'll get Brother Teju back on again to explain some more words or whatever it is that we want to talk about. Because he's that kind of brother. We're going to talk today about stuff that people send me. I got just so much stuff that people just send me all the time. You know, I tell you. And a lot of times the stuff, you know, is very thought-provoking. You know, and I'm going to take some random stuff and throw it out there to you. And then we're going to, I know that you saw in the news Donald Trump. His emissary meets the Caucasians from South Africa, just arrived for resettlement. Now, of course, you know, he just thinks that's so bad that some Caucasians who came and took that land, just like right now, I think the city's called Oceania, where they just claimed themselves sovereign right in the middle of African land. They're sovereign. They have their own water. They have their own electricity. They have windmills. They have security, armed security. Now, you can, as an African, go there and work. But your ass better be out of there by sundown. You cannot live there. Only Afrikaners can live there. That's why, you know, you got to know who these people are. That's why people talk about the Netherlands and the Dutch. All of them. All these Europeans can't stand us and will take advantage of us in a moment's notice. Yeah. The Dutch. Yeah. A group of around 50 Caucasians arrived from South Africa for resettlement. Trump granted them refugee status as victims of what he called a genocide. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Even the Caucasian there says they're ridiculous. Trump is just a racist ass son of a bitch. The first group of white Afrikaners, that's where Afrikaners are. They coined that particular word. To arrive in the United States for resettlement, photograph of them, they're being photographed at Dulles Airport in Virginia. Trump essentially halted refugees' arrivals after taking office, but is making an exception. I'm halting all refugees. I don't give a damn what kind of situation they in. But if they white, we'll make a special. Especially if those refugees are white and being dealt with by Africans. Oh, we can't have that. The Afrikaners, despite Pretoria's insistence, Pretoria is one of the capitals of Azania, South Africa, insistence that they did not face persecution in their homeland. Welcome to the land of the free, Deputy Secretary Chris Landau said, as he greeted the Caucasians' arrival, of whom they were waving small American flags at the Dulles Airport in Virginia, following their flight from Johannesburg. We're sending a clear message that the United States really rejects the egregious persecution of people on the basis of... Oh, come on, man. This is shit. It's ridiculous. Really? As bad as Africans have been treated on their own, in their own land under apartheid? Are you kidding? Yeah. Because what it is that I see what I want to see. And if something bad happens to you, I don't see it. But oh, but if something happens bad to Europeans, to Caucasians, to Urugu, I'm going to, as the president of the United States, as the top dog of the Western world, and the protector of European, Caucasian extremism. Yeah, I like that one. European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. I have to do all I can to help. Speaking at the White House shortly before the group's arrival, Trump, who was expected to meet with South African leaders next week, said the Afrikaners were fleeing a terrible situation back home. Trump, whose tycoon ally, Elon Musk, was born in South Africa, said Caucasian farmers were being killed in the country and replaced and repeated an allegation of genocide that had been widely dismissed and has absurd. It is a terrible situation taking place, the president said. So we've essentially extended citizenship to those people to escape from that violence. And they came here. Those being resettled just happened to be white. But whether they were white or black makes no difference. What a lying son. This son of a bitch. What a lying. I'm glad I can cuss sometimes on internet radio. This lying. Well, because it happened. Those being resettled just happened to be. No, they're being resettled because they are. But whether they're white or black makes no difference to me, yes. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa dismissed claims Afrikaners are being persecuted and said he recently told Trump that he was being told about the situation is not true. What he's being told about the situation is not true. But of course, if Elon Musk said it, of course, it's to Trump, it's true. But Elon Musk and his cohorts, a refugee is someone who has to leave their country out of the fear of political persecution, religious persecution, or economic persecution. And they don't fit that bill. They do not fit that bill. We're the only country on the continent where the colonizers came to stay, and we have never driven them out of our country, he added at a forum in Abidjan. South African Foreign Minister Ronald Lamola also scoffed at claims that Urugu Afrikaners face persecution or are being targeted for murder. Most victims of killing in South Africa are young black men in urban areas, according to Daily, and it's the same thing. The killing of mostly young black men is the other young black men. It was just like South Africa. Many Africans from some other countries were coming to South Africa getting technical jobs because the South African education was very weak for Africans, but for the Afrikaners, oh, yeah, very weak. And so instead of the Africans doing whatever they could to, whether it's legally or demonstrations or shit, just throw down on the Afrikaners because of the educational system, even though the country is, you know, is supposed to be in charge of it, it is them. Once again, brothers and sisters, listen to this. Whoever is in control of the money, whoever is in control of the military, they are in control. Understand this. You can have so many dark faces in high places, don't mean a damn thing. the Caucasian, even after Nelson Mandela was released, and even after Nelson Mandela, because Nelson Mandela cut a little bit of a deal. He wasn't going to do the things that he should have done to nationalize a lot of the organizations and entities to support the country. You know, he still left it in Afrikaner's hands. If you're in control of the money and you are in control of the military, you are in control. So, most victims of killings in South Africa are young African men in urban areas, according to official data. The crime that we have in South Africa affects everyone in respect of race and gender. Beyond absurd, under eligible guidelines published by the United States Embassy, applicants for U.S. resettlement must either be Afrikaner ethnicity or belong to a racial minority in South Africa. They must also be able to articulate a past experience of persecution or a fear of future persecution. All that can be is just, you know, Musk said so we can go. Trump and Musk have accused South Africa's government of targeting Afrikaners with a controversial land seizure law enacted this year. On Monday, Trump threatened to not attend an upcoming G20 summit in South Africa unless the situation is taken care of. America's biggest trading partner in Africa is also under fire from Washington for leading a case of International Court of Justice accused of U.S. allying Israel of genocide. Yes, South Africa had the nerve to do that, and I loved it because that's what's happening. No, what's happening to the Yoruba or Caucasians or Europeans or whites, Afrikaners in South Africa is damn near anywhere near genocide. What's happening to the Palestinians in Gaza is genocide. And the fact that you're seeing genocide being enacted as we speak in an ongoing, there is Netanyahu don't want to, he ain't even talking about trying to make a settlement. He ain't even talking about that. He's talking about getting rid of them. What was Trump talking about? He wants to make a resort out of it. America's biggest trading partner in Africa is also under fire from Washington for leading a case at the International Court of Justice accusing the United States ally, Israel, of genocide acts in Gaza's offensive. It claimed Israel, they deny. Many have expressed disgustment with Caucasians could be assigned victim status in South Africa. It is. It is disgustment. Prominent Afrikaner author Max de Pez said the resettlement was beyond absurd. This is about Trump and MAGA, not about us. It's about their hatred for DEI, he told AFP, referring to diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that have become a favorite Trump target. The people who have now fled have probably been motivated by financial considerations and are willing and other unwillingness to live in a post-apartheid society where whites no longer call all the shots. Whites who make up, check this out, whites who also make up 7.3% of the population generally enjoy a higher standard of living than their black majority. They still own two-thirds. They still own two-thirds of the farmland on average, earn three times as much, and they earn three times as much as African farmers in South Africa. Mainly Afrikaner-led government imposed the race-based apartheid system that denied African people political and economic rights until it was voted out in 94. Yeah, but that still didn't do nothing. That wasn't about nothing. That wasn't about nothing. A lot of this is about Donald Trump and what he's doing. This is Reverend Moss. His father was a pastor of Trinity, and he isn't. He was on TV. He used to be on TV on Sunday. And this is what he had to say about what's happening with Donald Trump and what he's doing to the American African Museum in Washington, D.C. Yeah. Okay. This is Reverend Moss, Trinity Church.
On Thursday, the Trump administration signed an executive order entitled, quote, Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History. This order targets two institutions, the Smithsonian Institution and the Department of Interior. This order states, over the past decade, Americans have witnessed a concerted and widespread effort to rewrite American history. This revisionist movement seeks to undermine the remarkable achievements of the United States by casting the founding principles and historical milestones in a negative light. Human happiness is reconstructed as inherently racist, sexist, and oppressive, end of quote. The executive order takes specific aim at the National Museum of African American History and the Museum of Women's History that is yet to be built in the United States in Washington, D.C. The order specifically directs Vice President J.D. Vance. As I mentioned previously in a 5 minutes, he is an acolyte of the so-called philosopher and anti-democratic promoter, Curtis Yarvin, who believes that some races are built for servitude. And also Peter Thiel, who is the billionaire funder of J.D. Vance. And it should be noted that he is a South African, Afrikaner. And J.D. Vance has been instructed by the person who occupies the White House currently, but not permanently, named Trump, to root out any American divisive ideology and exhibits that make America look bad. This executive order also seeks to reinstall Confederate monuments taken down during the Black Lives Matter movement. It must be noted, the Smithsonian is not a federal institution. It is a public-private partnership. The majority of the money for the Smithsonian comes from persons like yourselves. The majority of the money for the National Museum of African American History comes from people like us. It does, however, receive money from the government, but it is not dependent on the government to survive. The Board of Regents of the Smithsonian has 17 people, and J.D. Vance is only one person and has no authority over exhibits, the hiring or firing of staff, and he cannot place people on the board. It should be also noted, the National Museum of African American History is the most visited museum of all the Smithsonian museums, with almost 3 million people a year. The reason this executive order was created was to distract all of us from a bigger ethical and moral issue. The incompetence and possible criminal acts of an administration placing military plans on an unsecured consumer app called Signal and inviting a reporter from The Atlantic on the text thread by, quote, mistake. This executive order was written to get us distracted, just like Three Card Monty from The True Story. The real story is the deeply incompetent men and women who are in positions of power in this administration. They want to erase our history and distract us from their incompetence and lack of qualifications. I want to announce today that if any funding is taken away from the National Museum of African American History, Trinity United Church of Christ is placing the National Museum of African American History in our annual budget. And I am asking those who are part of this village to become a member of the National Museum of African American History. For only $25 a year, you can protect Black history. And when people ask you, why did you choose to support this institution, the National Museum of African American History, just simply say, I go to a church that is unashamedly Black and unapologetically Christian. For my final statement, I must make sure that we do this appropriately in reference to Robert's Rules of Order, that is recorded in the minutes that there is a motion to be placed on this floor at this moment that the National Museum of African American History be placed in the annual budget for Trinity United Church of Christ to be determined at a later time by the people. Is there a motion on the floor?
So moved.
Is there a second on the floor?
So moved.
It has been properly seconded. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of placing the National Museum of African American History in the budget of Trinity United Church of Christ may do so by saying aye. The nays may do the same. And that is my 5 minutes today. Peace.
Right on, Otis Moss. Right on. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, you can support it too. There are many things that I've asked that we support, and truly that is definitely one of them, because this information and this history is ours. You know, it's ours. And we must support it to an extent that, and I think that when it first came out, there was already some things being taken from the museum based on something that the Trump administration wanted to get out of the museum. You know, I can't remember exactly what it was, what exhibits it might have been or what it was. I'm like, to me, support the museum. Make sure that we are running it. If there is some money that we should get, based on what other museums, not just the Smithsonian's, may get, we're entitled. We should get it. If not, we should sue. But basically, the serious contribution to that to the museum, the American African Museum, should the contributors should be us. It is ours. And also in that way, family, we make sure that what the museum is presenting, what it is saying, we understand and support. We understand it and we support it. You know, museums that show us our history, our museums that deserve to be supported. They deserve to be supported. And I'm hoping what we do in that way helps that museum in so many ways. Now, I've been told, I've been to D.C. a couple times, and unfortunately, I haven't been to the museum. And I love museums. I love us. So, in considering the attack that it's under, I'm definitely willing to support the museum, no doubt. In fact, I'm going to find out how we can do that, how our listeners can do that. Where do we have to send the money? so forth, or make a yearly contribution. He said $25 a year, didn't he? Come on, family. But listen, what if the tens of millions of American Africans that we have here, and I'm quite sure there's some others who would support it too, we can seriously fund the museum. We can seriously fund the museum. So, family, let's do that. Okay? Let's do that. Let's fund the museum. We're going to get ready to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll listen to some more stuff that comes from things that are sent to me, and I appreciate that. And I'll probably keep it in the same vein of jamming up Trump. Let me say this, family. Excuse me. Let me say this. You know, this man is a lying son of a. He was that. And he's still that. And yet, so many people voted for him. Of course, what I can't understand is this man can honestly go around the country saying, you know, the election was rigged. I stole the election. And then it's like, well, I can say that. It's over. I won the election. Yeah, I stole it. And nothing is going to be done about it. I would think in a just and righteous society that they suspend him, take him to some kind of court, and if it is a rigged election, then announce the winner, the real winner of the election. This is baffling me. I mean, it really is. MSNBC announced it. She talked about, you know, this was a Thursday before the election, 5 days. Rachel Maddow on her program, she announced it 5 days before the election of what Trump said. I don't need your votes. Don't vote for me. I don't need your votes. I have all the votes I need. How arrogant. When everybody was saying, and I'm not going to say everybody, but when all the so-called polls, all the so-called prognosticators and soothsayers, whatever, said it was too close to call. This election is too close to call. And then he says on that Thursday, I don't need your votes. It's not, to him, he's saying it's not too close to call. It's over. I won. It's over. Votes haven't been cast. Oh, I mean, yes, there's votes that have been cast. Those early voters from outside the country and so forth, who voted by mail. But it was too close to call. But he says no. And then the day of the election, he wins all of it. He wins the popular vote. How can an evil son of a bitch, lying son, how can that guy win the popular vote? This country is crazy. And all of the Negroes that you saw, blacks for Trump. That's right. Not Africans. Not American Africans. Negroes. Blacks for Trump. And of course, when he finally took office, many of the people who voted for him realized, oh, what a great mistake that was. I didn't think he was going to do, I didn't think he meant me in my position, in my job. I thought that was reserved for Negroes, for blacks, for the blacks. Yeah. I tell you. But that's how it goes, family, right? That's how it goes. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more discussion. And join this conversation. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. You're listening to the African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Give us a call right here at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. What a dialogue with you. Yeah, I tell you. All kind of good stuff. I like this piece this sister put out. I don't think I played it before, but I want to play it now. But basically, she's saying, because of the Caucasian, when they talk about China, they can't mess with China because they allowed it to happen. Europeans are so selfish and greedy. It's beyond understanding how selfish and greedy these people are. You know, when I think about Europeans, Caucasians, Yorugu, and how they developed, and my understanding of that evolutionary development causing them to be the way they are in that environment that they were in, that harsh environment, the Ice Age environment. They changed themselves genetically. Because when we left out of Africa, went up in that area, then got cut off by the Ice Age, our bodies changed. From no longer were we tall and slender, we were short and stocky. No longer do we have hair. You know, because we don't have hair in Africa. You know, we don't need hair all over our bodies. Long, stringy hair. You know? So we had hair all over our bodies to help insulate. And we had hair definitely going down the back of our necks because the blood that pumps from our heart has to get past the neck into the brain so they could function. And so all these things, you know, the nose became thin to warm the air, the cold air before it got into our lungs. Your lips became thin. You know, when Caucasians say we look like monkeys. No, y'all look like monkeys. Them thin ass lips to hold in the heat, whatever, you know. No, y'all look like monkeys. But more importantly, how they dealt with the environment, which is harsh and unyielding. They became very selfish and very greedy. They see somebody made a kill and going to take it back to their cave to share with the people there. They get ambushed. They get killed. And the kill that they made is stolen. They hated women. They hated women. They hate women today. That is not us. In fact, one of the things that they saw when they came to sojourn down in Kemet was how we treated our women with complementarity, with love, with respect, side by side. She wasn't behind. She was at the man's side. And many times she became the ruler. She was definitely a consort because just like with Queen Tai, which would be Tutankhamun's grandmother. But, you know, I've gone over this many times and I'm just sick of these. I'm sick of you. That's my grandson. She said, I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. So, I like this sister here. So, let's check this out, and it'll be more. All right, family.
That frames manual labor as racially inferior. After slavery, Jim Crow and other exploitative labor laws kept Black and immigrant workers in underpaid production roles. While white capitalists rebranded themselves as managers, investors, and entrepreneurs, the Industrial Revolution amplified this divide. White industrialists like Carnegie and Rockefeller glorified themselves as self-made, while their fortunes rested on child labor, immigrant sweatshops, and violent union suppression. By the late 20th century, America began offshoring its labor to China, not just for cheap wages, but because whiteness had fully divorced itself from the stigma of manual labor. U.S. executives justified this by labeling manufacturer jobs as low skill, a racially coded term, by pouring money into marketing, financing, and branding. Industries that produce nothing tangible, but generate massive profits through psychological manipulation. Meanwhile, China weaponizes America's labor aversion. They built the world's most efficient manufacturing base, not just by making goods, but by mastering supply chains, infrastructure, and real productivity. Now China controls 80% of global solar paneling, 70% of lithium refining, 50% of shipbuilding. While the U.S. economy relies on inflating stock value, branding hollow luxuries, and predatory gig work. And what is the result? China's GDP has grown 40 times since 1990. U.S. wages stagnate as labor is devalued and jobs are replaced with hustle culture. America's infrastructure crumbles while China builds high-speed railways, smart cities, and AI-driven factories. White capitalism's contempt for labor has left America with a failing economy, one where finance bros are richer than engineers, influencers out-earn factory workers, and branding is valued over building. China's dominance proves that real power comes from production, not propaganda. The U.S. can either confront its racist labor hierarchy or reinvest in real work, or watch as the next century belongs to those who aren't afraid to get their hands dirty.
So as you can see, that's what happened. That's why we're in this situation. That's why this country, not we, that's why this country is in a situation that it is. Greed. Manipulation, undermining, greed. And it's not going to get any better. Donald Trump claiming that he can bully people into making a deal. And if the deal is made, it's not going to be in the United States' favor because they have nothing to back them up. Oh, yeah, they have weaponry. They're still the military arm of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy. They're still the military arm of that, no doubt. You know, the best military in the world, even though China has more. But also, too, they both had weapons of mass destruction. And other countries have weapons of mass destruction. Who knows? If one allows them to fly, then they all start flying. Especially look at India and Pakistan. They've been at it for many years. They both have nuclear weapons. South Africa has nuclear weapons controlled not by the brothers and sisters of South Africa, controlled by those Afrikaners. Israel has nuclear weapons. China, Russia. I don't know if there's a South American country or Central American country. I don't think so. I don't think Brazil. The only country that would have nuclear weapons in South America would be Argentina, because it is most Caucasian. Remember, if you don't know, you can look it up. Once captivity ended, Argentina made it a point to get rid of the Africans. Now, there's more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. We ain't running nothing there either. We ain't running nothing. But in Argentina, Yorugu men had intercourse with African women, had offspring. Those offspring were taken and not allowed to marry or to have children by Africans. Only the light-skinned. That's why the Nazis, many of them went to Argentina after the war, after the Second World War. That's why many of the Caucasian-looking women in Argentina win a lot of beauty contests, because they do augmentation like you wouldn't believe. They're constantly doing reconstructive surgery, plastic surgery, facelifts, this and that, to look most Caucasian. Yes, Argentina. So aside from killing some of them, they birthed them out. But of course they had that DNA just like the Pope, right? The Pope and his family. They have some DNA, especially in New Orleans. They'll have to black, half the white people in New Orleans is black. Let them tell it. So, yeah. Man. That's, and so, no, there's, deals are not going to be made for the benefit of this country, the way it handles stuff. No. No, it's not. It's not going to happen. No, it's not. And the same playbooks being played. You had the United States General. And the United States General, he had contacted countries all around Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. All those countries made those contacts to basically say that these people, particularly Ibrahim Traoré, is, you know, doing some bad things. As Trump would say, he's doing bad things. If you're doing something against the United States, you're doing bad things. You must allow the United States to do whatever the hell it wants to do. Yeah. But nah, man, it's going to be different this time, family. Mm-hmm. If he makes that move, if he does that, then I think it's incumbent upon us. I think it's very incumbent upon us, Africans here in America, to protest vigorously, vehemently, and tell brothers and sisters that are in the service to get the hell out. You should not want to be a part of what has happened. Of a government that kills our people. Oh, yeah, I know. For some of us, it's more important for us to be American than to be African. I understand. You know, I understand. But what's most important for us, for our future, this is not our future. You can see that if you open your eyes and understand. This is not the future for African people. Never has been, and it never will be. Oh, we've tried to make it. We've tried hard. We beg, we pleaded, we kissed ass. But no more, because we can see all the things that we've done with this asshole in office. You can see it doesn't make a difference. Here's another piece that was sent to me. I'm like, this is an Asian young lady. But it basically talks about what Caucasians did globally to affect all the things that are that human beings are being subjugated to. So, yeah. So check this out, family.
White people broke the earth. White people, not all of you individually, but the systems you built, the empires you enforced, the profit you prioritized over life. You broke the earth. You didn't just show up and settle. You came with guns, greed, and God. You took land that wasn't yours, spilled blood on sacred ground, and called it destiny. You clear-cut forests, enslaved people, dug holes in the earth for gold, turned the sky into a smokestack, and renamed the destruction growth. You made the land yours by force. You made water something to sell. You made civilization mean white skin, private property, and concrete. You told the world that nature was wild, that people who honored it were savages, and that domination was salvation. And when the earth cried out, when her lungs burned and her rivers turned black, you didn't stop. You invented new ways to profit from collapse. Now you want to fix it? Now you want to lead the way? No, you are not the solution. You are the crisis. But this story doesn't end with you, because the earth is not dead, not defeated. It is wounded, but it remembers. It remembers those who loved it before you fenced it off and mined its soul. It remembers the songs sung to rivers, the hands that planted with gratitude, the fire keepers, the medicine carriers, the people who knew the earth was not a thing, but a living relative. We remember too. We remember that your empires are fragile, that your borders are fake, that your wealth is stolen, and that your time is running out. The earth can be healed, but not by white saviors, not by carbon offsets, not by policies written in boardrooms. Healing will come through justice, through land back, through reparations, through abolition, through the return of what was stolen, and the dismantling of what never should have existed. The earth isn't dying. It's remembering. And it will only heal when white power ends. Cope.
It'll only end when they do. You know, I've been on this radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 10 years. Not necessarily on Time for an Awakening. Let me correct that. 8 years on Time for an Awakening. A little bit over that. But the point is, I've been preaching this message of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. I go by the model of my program is Pan-Africanism, or perish, unify, or die. And I'll continue to do that. I'm dedicated, I'm committed to trying to make that happen for African people, because I recognize what many of our people unfortunately don't, is that these people have no intentions of being right, of being just, of being fair, of being honest. No intentions whatsoever. I said this before, especially last month when it was Easter, because they talk about the Exodus, supposedly Hebrews, Jews were in Kemet. They were being persecuted. They were being made to work. They were captives. I hate the word slave. And Moses, who was put into a basket and was sailed down the Nile, where Pharaoh Seti's daughter, Pharaoh Seti, or king, she took the baby out of the water and brought her, the child, the boy, Moses, into Pharaoh's house. And he grew up in Pharaoh's house along with Pharaoh's son, Ramesses the second. And of course, Moses was loved. Quite sure Ramesses was jealous, as that story goes. Then he was found out because Pharaoh's daughter had a so-called handmaiden. She kept the Hebrew cloth that he was in when they took him out of the water in that basket. And she kept it. And she told that this is a Hebrew. You know? And of course she was killed. And then when Moses came to visit Seti's daughter, and of course he was not her brother, and of course they did that, they married. And so he found out about it, and he wanted to find out the truth about what's happening. So he went into the village where the captives were being housed. And he had the cloth. And so his mother had to tell him the truth. Yes, I put you in the basket and I sailed you for the protection, because they were killing the firstborn male of all Hebrews. And so he came to Pharaoh, to Seti, but more importantly to Ramesses when he ascended to the throne because of the passing of Seti. And of course he had exiled Moses, threw him out there to the desert, because I mean, you know, that's like a death sentence. I'd ride you all the way out many miles, maybe I'd blindfold you so you can't see the direction that you're going. Yeah, blindfold you. And so he became an advocate. He was now working to build, making bricks. This is a bullshit story, I'm sorry. But anyway, he was exiled and he lived. And he went into the village he got to an oasis and did some miraculous things of some bad guys, because these women, the person whose house he stayed in. And so he went up into the mountain, Mount Ararat, and he saw the burning bush, and the burning bush knew who he was, and the burning bush told him what he's going to do. They made the tablets later that. He just told him, you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, as the story goes, Moses was not very articulate. And like I said, you know, these stories in the Bible, they go back and forth. Or obviously he had to be, but of course it makes it a better story. So Aaron, his brother, who he did not know, but now that is his brother, he would talk sometimes for Moses, and he was an artist and so forth. And so they came upon Pharaoh, and they told him what's happening. Let the people go. Let them go. And Pharaoh, as the narrator says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That part always bothered me. If God had that ability, why would he harden his heart and bring all those plagues? I guess to show that I'm God. You know, kept his heart hardened so he could experience all these plagues until finally one of the plagues was the death of the firstborn. And that's where the Passover comes in. Because you put lamb's blood on your door, so death passes over you. And of course, Pharaoh's son, firstborn, he's the one that dies. But Exodus did not happen. Bob Marley makes a song, Exodus, for our people. And that's what we need. We need an Exodus family. We need to get the hell up out of here. This place is no good for us. We need an Exodus. We need to prepare ourselves. You have been disgusting as a people to humanity. Especially us. No, you can't write a history that glorifies you, you son of a bitch. All the evil that you have created, all the evil that you have done, the segregation, the lynchings. No. Mm-mm. Exodus. That's what we need. We need to start preparing ourselves. We need to educate ourselves. We need to end all merriment, all foolishness, all insanity at this moment, to pull monies. Don't buy frivolous things. Put money into preparing us to educate ourselves. Put money into helping us learn defense. Because we are going to have to defend ourselves when we make this particular move. But if we don't do this, we'll die. Pan-Africanism or perish. If we don't unify, we'll die. The weaponry that these people have is unbelievable. And you know they'll use them. If some of the Caucasians are affected, so be it. As long as the oligarchs and those of superior wealth are not affected, let it happen. We got some callers. I've asked some callers to come through, and here they are. Good afternoon.
Baba Oji.
Yes.
Yes. It's me.
I know it's two of us.
Yes.
So no,
it's
who ought to go first?
You go first. You go first. You're elder. You go first. Brother Irv will go next. And you know he's going to be
Brother Irv, what did I mean?
Yeah, Brother Irv.
Yep. Brother Irv, old and heavy, old she. He's 66. I ain't 66 yet.
Oh, really? I thought you were elder. Well, then, hold on then, Brother Marcus. Hold on. Let me get the elder on here. Hey, elder. Hey, elder Irv.
Brother Marcus, you're too much. That is funny, Baba. I've never been called an elder. Thank you, Brother Marcus. I feel closer to the grave now. Baba Oshie, I wanted to hear Brother Marcus. This brother comes out when he speaks. He says he has so much wisdom in him when he speaks. And because, for me, this is personal, because of his accent, which I adore,
mm-hmm.
it makes me really listen intently.
Yes, you got to.
I don't want to miss. Right. I don't want to miss what he's saying, and I also don't want to miss what he doesn't say. One of the quotes that I've written down of Brother Marcus is, he always says, and not always says it, but I heard him say this. He said, there are some good white people. He said, there are some good white people, and they're in the cemetery. And when he said that, I remembered it. It just stuck with me. Because every time I would give white people the benefit of the doubt, they would show me that they're not worthy of that. And when people have to show you that they're worthy of the way you treat them by the way they treat you. Mm-hmm. And history and the one thing that Baba Oshie that you've done is you've made me aware of history.
Yes, you got to.
The reason why white people aren't doing what they do because they thought of it today, they're doing what they do because what has been done before. Mm-hmm. And these fairy tales of Charleston Heston going up on a hill and talking to a burning bush and all those stories sound fantastic. If you want to hear a story, if you are into fairy tales and Kris Kringle and bunny rabbits and a white Jesus and all these things are good. It soothes your mind and it takes you off of your game and lets you think of something other than your liberation, your self-determination, and your sovereignty. But when you wake up, which they call woke, when you wake up and realize that the car that you was in, you started out at exit 3, and when you woke up, you're still at exit 3. You ain't moved. Mm-hmm. What you did, you're still.
Right.
Because white people, and I'm telling you, the things that are going on, because white folks are getting so brazen and so brash now, they're going back to the way it was during the slavery in the United States, where white folks didn't understand why you didn't want to be a slave. Why don't you want to serve me? What is wrong with you? This United States is the best place you've ever been.
That's right. That's
but
how they
the United States
you.
Is so great, why do they keep going back to Africa digging up the minerals? Mm-hmm. If United States is so great, why won't you let me leave? Like you told, like the Pharaoh, let my people go. You ain't got to let me go. We're leaving. Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell me to leave. Because the only prison I have here in this country is the prison of my mind. You don't want my physical. You want my mind. You want my mind to stay shackled. And as long as your mind is shackled, I don't care where you are. You're a prisoner. You could be in Africa, and you're still a prisoner because your mind is shackled. So take the chains off your mind.
That's right.
Learn who you are. Learn where you're from. Learn your history, not from just one perspective. There are many historians out here. Amos Wilson, John Henry Clark, I can name them, but
you could go off and off for days, and sisters too. You know, all of them
and the sisters.
Yes.
So
and the sisters.
Don't sit here.
So it's there for
and
you.
Take one.
Right.
Come on. There are many voices that are talking to you, brother. All you have to do is let the ancestors speak. Just shut up. One. Have a big cup of shut the hell up. How about that? And listen. Mm-hmm. Don't hear. I can hear a fire engine, but I don't listen to a fire engine when the siren sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen, just stop and listen, because you'll listen to white folks. Soon they start talking. That's what you can repeat things that Trump said verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? But you can't repeat anything that Neely Fuller said.
Mm-hmm.
You can't repeat anything that John Henry Clark said. But you can repeat Trump and all that foolishness, because we learn through repetition, and the television is repetitious, and that's why every goddamn AIDS commercial you see is a bunch of black guys hugging each other.
Mm.
Because repetition tells us that black men got AIDS and they gay. So So there you go. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Baba Oshie, let somebody else talk.
I'm gonna get Brother Marcus in here. I know you're gonna hold on. Appreciate you, brother.
So
love
bad,
you, man.
I'm listening. I'm gonna hear Brother Marcus.
Okay. Marcus.
Yes, indeed, Brother Irv and Brother Oshie.
Yes, sir.
Greetings. You know, you're right, you know, Brother Irv, because religion, the word, the definition, the Webster's definition of the word religion is to bind. Mm-hmm. You see, and they bind us with that bullshit. They bind us with them stories, you know what I'm saying, with allegory and mythology, because that's all it is, allegory and mythology.
Yep.
You know, whenever I need when I want a good laugh, I read the book of Genesis. I read the book of, they talk about creation. And that's, if you really read that story, you know, you see, this is a really perverted story. Mm-hmm. Because according to what the book says, it said, well, God created the heaven and the earth, and he created this place called the Garden of Eden. And within it, he put all the birds and the bees and the animals, male and female, he created both. Then he created man. But when he created man, he didn't create a male and a female man. He created Adam alone.
Right.
So according to the story, one day God walking in the garden, and he saw, you know, he saw Adam was sad. And he said, Adam, why are you sad, Adam? Well, Adam said, well, you know, God, you know, everybody have somebody for themselves, you know. You know, the bird have a partner, and everybody have a partner. But I don't have any partner. You know, so evidently, God must have wanted Adam to cohabit with the animals. You know what I'm saying? So it looked like Adam had more morals than God. You know, anyway, the story go on. He said, all right, you come for no problem. Put it to sleep, put my hand in the side, put his hand in the side, take out a rib, and he made woman, created woman for Adam. So God, Adam was happy, all right. So the story go on that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel, right? Cain killed Abel.
Right.
Okay, that's the story. That's the story anyway. Mm-hmm. So that would leave Adam, right? Adam, Cain, and Eve, right? That's who is left, right? Mm-hmm. So later on, Adam crawled off and died, leaving Eve and Cain. Now you finish the story.
Mm-hmm.
Finish the story now. That would make Cain the first mother, you know what. Because, you know, that's the only way any other people would come. It's a sick, perverted story. You see? Mm-hmm. And these people who write the story, they are sick too. Because if you look at them, you know, they practice a lot of incest in their relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of them, you see them all wrinkled up and shriveled up, because they practice a lot of that same thing, they, you know. So you are right, but I see a change taking place. There is a change.
You know, yes, it has to be, brother.
There is a metamorphosis taking place, and it's driving them crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're on the way out, bro. Their thing is on its way out. We got to prepare ourselves, because we're in the den with them.
Brother Marcus, one thing I understand is that even though you are right, they're on their way out, but they will not go without a fight. These are evil people. These are some mean-spirited, evil people.
Yes,
selfish and greedy.
Yes.
They don't want to share. They're on their way out. So I believe that they would rather blow this damn thing up than to turn it over to the righteous people. You know?
Well, you hear what they said? They said they are a dying tiger.
Yes.
But the dying tiger is the most dangerous animal in the savannah, because he knows he's dying.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to take as much people with him on his journey to death. And that's what they're doing. They know they're dying, but they say, well, hey, we're dying, but we're going to try to take as much with us on this journey today. I'm telling you, they are sick. They, you know, don't know where they come from, but I know where they're going.
I know where they're going too. Right on, Marcus.
Yeah. All but right, they, my you, brother.
All right, my I brother. All right. Thank you, Brother Marcus. Yeah. They're dying. They have been experiencing negative population growth for, I venture to say, at least two decades. For every two that, just a round number, for every two that die, only one is born. So you see, their population has been dwindling and continues to be. Their population, and they're so adamantly racist. I can use that word. Because they're the one who created it, because they believe that they are the superior. And yet, they can't mass and reproduce. And they can't hold on, just like I've mentioned before about here in America, why they messed it up. Because they are not fair. They're not just. They're just selfish and greedy. So, it's going to be amazing to see. And but my feeling is, don't let us go down with these son of a bitches. Let's get out. Let us not go down with them. Let us get out and go home. Let us kick. We have all that we need. Africa does not need the world. The world needs Africa. If we go home with skills, go home with the ability to farm, the ability to produce. I played for you the other day, Howard Nichols, and how important he felt it was for them to maintain their superior position is by never letting Africans produce anything. Keep Africa poor. Just saying that, knowing what these people have done to us, and yet and still, just. That's right. I can hear my lady right now. Slow down. Take a deep breath. I hear you. But this shit is insanity. It is insanity. And by us being it and trying to reform it, by us trying to correct it, makes us insane. The most important thing for us to do is to educate ourselves. You may go to a public school, and if they give you the information on mathematics and spelling and learning to read and so forth, excuse me, do that. But the most important thing that you can do is to develop, inquire, knowledge of self. Knowledge of who we are as African people and what we have done. Because what we have done, we can do again and do it even better. Isn't it not, unless you don't study this, that's why the history is so important. That's why that museum is so important. That's why maybe, yes, you should volunteer, or you should make a contributions on a monthly basis or a yearly basis. I think he said $25 a year. Whatever it is, it's worth it to preserve our history. Because our history is too important to be left in alien hands. This is ridiculous. If they want to say that, let them say that. But we need to support that building. I don't give a damn what they do. They're liars. The great prevaricators. They are. They're liars. When I look at the history and I see the pictures of what they have done, see the pictures of what happened to us in Africa, here in this country, what happened to the indigenous people in this country, and of course their so-called manifest destiny. No, family. Mm-mm. No. I have great disdain for these people. Brother Irv, help me out here, man, if I blow a gasket. Because I want to cuss up some. I ain't lying, man.
Man, when you start speaking like that, Baba Oshi, with the passion that you have in your voice, I just want to go out, put my gear on, and let's go do what has to be done.
Yeah.
Let's go take care of what has to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Because, Baba, you're right on point with these, with Irugu. When you said something, it reminded me of you saying something one time that when the French left, they tore the railroads up.
Yeah.
And they destroyed all the, and it reminded me when you said that when they actually are, they're going down now, and they're going to destroy everything in their sight. They're going to destroy you, trying to keep themselves alive. They're going to destroy everything and everybody.
Yeah.
So what we as Africans have to do is back off these white folks. Just stop being all up. Stop trying to integrate with something. Martin Luther King said the house was on fire.
That's right.
I believe it's more than that. I believe the house has incinerated. I think they want you to believe it's still a fire there. The fire went out long time ago. These white people are hollow. They have no soul. And that's why they keep making these crazy movies.
Right on.
I mean, come on, brother.
Yeah.
They are gone. Yeah. They've been gone for a while. And now we are looking at them through a different lens, because with the more history and education that you get, you start to realize that this is not something new. They've been doing this forever. Baba Oshi, how demented do you have to be to grab a human being and mutilate them and kill them and call it lynching? How demented is your mind? How psychopathic is your mind to do that and then go home and go to sleep and love your children? Mm. I love you, dear. Kiss them. Go to bed, baby. I just went out and killed me 4 or 5 Negroes. That I didn't think were human, but yet I will have sex with the women and the children, because I'm perverted. I'm a homophile, because that's what they are. But these are the things that you don't see on Roots. We don't see this on Roots. We saw spitting in the water. We didn't see the slave breeding plantations. Mm-hmm. It's a difference when you see a black man picking cotton for white folks, but it's another thing when you see him being breeded. Like a dog. Come on, Baba Oshi.
Yeah, I'm
these
telling you, man.
That go through my... Come on, brother.
There's no example or no parallel in the world that can say about what they have done to us. And, you know, I know we're all, you know, been bombarded on a consistent basis about what happened to European Jews. And you believe it's 6 million. You have a huge number of 6 million. You know, although I would venture to say the number that Leopold killed in the Congo, the hands he cut off, they still have chocolate hands that you can buy. Chocolate hands.
Come on, man.
How arrogant. Chocolate hands. You know, and I believe that 10 million figure might even be closer. I believe that the voyage from the west coast of Africa to the western hemisphere killed...
Mm-hmm.
Tens and tens and tens of millions of people, you know, and so we were transported all there, and then the colonization, more killing of African people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Leopold's killing happened during the colonization, so it didn't happen during the enslavement, or it didn't happen when we were taken on the coffer lines, and then we're, you know, laid there and put in dungeons and so forth. There's no people who have experienced what we have experienced. Now, and I hope we understand this, one of the things that I say all the time, Europeans, Caucasians, have always found a better way to do what?
Kill your ass.
To kill your ass. And so therefore, you know, when they had the gun and then they kept modifying it, you know, now you can be one person. You can be one person with that automatic weapon, and you could kill whatever number, 10, 20, 50, 100. Some of those weapons shoot 30, 40 rounds a second. It's crazy.
A second.
Yep, a second. You know, it's crazy, man. It really is. Yeah. And we keep trying to make these people understand I'm human. I'm a human being. They had no feeling at all for us and our humanity. They felt that we were not human. We were not human. That we were less than that. Not understanding that we are the first humans. Everybody came from us. We were the first humans. You know?
Baba Oshi, I was younger, I saw something that I just didn't understand. But as I got older, I understood it. I saw a picture of Martin Luther King marching through Birmingham. And they had these big signs on their chest, on the back and the front. And the sign said, I'm a man.
I'm a man, yes.
Why would you have to tell someone I can look at a black person, a black male, and tell that he's a man.
Yes.
He may not act like a man, but he looks like a man. He's got arms, legs, beard, face looks like a man. Why would you have to take a people and tell them, wear a sign that said, I'm a man, because they didn't look at them as men.
No. They had no respect for the humanity. None. Had none.
None. None. That was interesting to me, Babos. Mm-hmm. And what did that do? That stuck in my psyche. Mm-hmm. Because white folks understand it's not about your hands, it's about your mind. That's 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer than that. And I still remember that. And why is that? Because white folks don't come for your old ass. They come for your children.
Right.
Your children.
You know, I already messed you up. Now I'm going to get those fertile young ones before those
That's
so-called
right.
revolutionaries get them. I'm going to get them, and I'm going to turn them into so-called Uncle Toms, turn them into those who will do the bidding for me, those who will serve in my military. In all facets of it, where they have, like they have Langley going over to Africa.
Oh my God.
When that man hit the door, y'all should just gave that mother a beat down. Gave his ass a beat down. Coming over here to lying just like they have in previous times, you know, able to kill African leaders. I just saw a piece on a stream talking about the number of African leaders that the CIA, this country, has killed or have manipulated others to have them killed. You know, I tell you, man, you know, that's why to me it's very hard for me to I know some good Caucasian people. Just like Marcus, they're in the cemetery. But no, I've worked with some, and you know. But one thing, I don't choose them to be my protective friend, my protecting friend, because that is for us to be for ourselves as African people. You know.
That's right.
You know, but and for Caucasians, at any moment they could just flip the script. It is their world, and unfortunately, we're in it. Damn it. You know, but it is theirs, and they constantly let us know that, you know, and to me, there's nothing that we can do to change that, and yet we have tried consistently, continuously, foolishly, have tried to make these people understand and respect our humanity.
I'm going to end with this, Baba Oshi. The key word you said just a few minutes ago was foolishly. You're making a fool of yourself. You may think that you're standing up for these Caucasians. These are some good white folks. Mm-hmm. But you're making a fool of yourself.
Yes.
And the white man will let you know that. Sooner than later. That I don't give a damn. Trump will tell you, I don't give a damn about you. I'm taking all your stuff out of the Smithsonian. You don't even exist in my world.
Right.
You don't even exist. So stop.
I know it is, man. I know it is. It flies by. But man, you know, this man, Trump, is the most lyingest son of a bitch ever. And to be a president, a so-called a statesman is somebody who has integrity, is somebody who does things for the will of the people, is somebody mm-hmm. who makes sure that everybody's needs are taken care of. Somebody, a statesman, is somebody to make sure things are allocated where they need to belong so things can run smoothly. The education system, economic system, job creation, and so forth. That's a statesman. Right. And Trump ain't nowhere damn near that. He's a grifter. He's a grifter. He is somebody, just right now, all of the grift and all of the things that this man is. And yet, he is the president of the United States. And you know what, Brother Irv? That is really apropos. You know what I'm saying? It really becomes apropos.
They deserve it.
They deserve it. That show in the hell do. All right, Brother Irv. Appreciate you,
Thank
man.
You, Bob.
All right.
Love you, man.
Love you too, dear brother. Peace. Brothers and sisters, we end this program. Man, this is so frustrating. When you have such love for African people and you know how they've been manipulated and used and how their minds are so twisted, you know. But I'm committed to do the best that I can. And I know there are many others and I support them and love them. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. See you on Friday. Peace, family.